today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we have the story of the dad who jumped ship to save his daughter after she fell overboard, and the story about the 19-year-old who flew without clearance to Antarctica. Those stories and the one about no more smelly feet at the airport security area next in the news.
Email scams come at us every single day, many related to travel. And in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, we have some tips to help you know the difference between a scam and a real update from a travel partner.
Lots going on at Sacramento International. We get an update on construction, parking, and new service at the airport from Scott Johnston at 11:35.
Sometimes from difficult situations come great advances. We'll tell you about Silent Beacon, a way to summon help in an emergency in a remote area. Kenny Kelly invented it. He has a fascinating story, and you'll meet him at 11:50.
Another show packed with stories you won't hear anywhere else and tons of information to make you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. I've been everywhere, man. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Boy, it's been a scorcher the last few days, and it's going to continue for a little while. Mark, I think this might be a good time for you to get out of town.
Listen, I'm going with a group over to Fort Bragg, which is probably not the most stunning headline destination in the world, but when it's 100 degrees in the valley, you know what the temperature is in Fort Bragg? About 60, 65.
Yeah,
and right. It's a fun place. Yeah. So we're headed over there, and then the next week I get to go up to Puget Sound. So I'll have a report and updates when we get back. Hey, listen, this has nothing to do with travel, but there might be one or two Giants fans and maybe even a Dodger fan listening to the radio. Was that a great baseball game last night or what?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I was sweating it out all the way to the last out.
People ask me why I like baseball, and I will just tell you, watch the replay of the Giant-Dodger game last night, whether you were a Giants fan or a Dodgers fan. The Dodgers have a really good team. And anyway, a lot of fun. If you were a baseball fan, you were in your element last night. And another game starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so we have to get on with this radio program, Tom, because I have a date with my television set at 1 o'clock.
All right. With that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's update, once again, here is Mark Hoffman.
Unless you were in a cave last week, you know already by now that there will be no public nudity from the knees down at the airport any longer. You can't.
That's a fascinating way to put it.
Some people have, some people have really gnarly feet. Plus, the other thing is, why would you walk barefoot in an area where, like 87 billion people have walked barefoot just before you and all of that? Anyways, you don't have to take your shoes off at going through security at the airport anymore. This started last week. In fact, it was kind of cool. Our friends Dale and Sid Dale sent me an email Monday morning and said, psst, this is about to happen. And at that point in time, it hadn't happened yet. But within about 2 hours, it started showing up on news feeds. And Dale had sent a note and said, this is going to be system-wide, no matter what you hear. He said it's going to be system-wide. So when the first stories that rolled out were, this is being done at selected airports. May not hit your airport yet. And by the time the day was over, the story had changed to, yes, it was indeed system-wide. So thank you to Dale Keller, who took the time to send us a note and allowed us to spread that word around the rest of the KFBK news system. So you don't have to take your shoes off. However, with an asterisk, just like computers and the like, they are still doing random checks. So you might be that 1 in 100 that has to take your shoes off for whatever reason, or maybe your shoes will beep or something like that. If you have beepy shoes, then the airport is not a good place to take them. Listen, this is a really cool story. Last Sunday morning, a 5-year-old girl fell from one of the Disney cruise ships. She was sitting on a railing lost her balance and dropped backward into the ocean through a porthole, no less. So it wasn't like, you know, her parents were ignoring her and she was allowing her to play up on the deck and sit on a railing and she fell over. She fell through a porthole, which I'm sure there's more to the story. Anyway, the girl's dad did not see her fall. His wife alerted him, and he ran out to the outside and jumped into the water and held his daughter up while they were able to stop the ship and get a rescue boat down. It was almost 30 minutes before they were able to get to them. But she is okay, and he is okay. And, wow.
Thank God. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, what an amazing...
Yes.
What an amazing story. That was just off of Port Everglades in Florida. It was about 11:30 in the morning. My goodness. What an amazing story. Speaking of amazing stories, I got another one. There's an American teenager. Kid's 19 years old. He's trying to fly to every continent. Okay? So if you've got a license and stuff like that, and you're a pilot, why, and he is, and he's got a Cessna. Cessna 182, if you're an aviation geek. And this would make him the first person in the world to accomplish flying to all seven continents solo. He made it to all six. He's trying to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And so he took off from Argentina to Antarctica. There is only one problem with that, and that is that he didn't have permission from anybody to fly from Antarctica over to Chile, Argentina to Antarctica. So when he got to Antarctica, they busted him. So no update yet. I've been scanning the news to see if there was some update, but anywhere, this 19-year-old American who was trying to, he had made it to all six to the other six continents, and he was trying to make it to number seven. And he took off and landed and didn't have permission. Oops.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen to him. This was Ben Schlappig from One Mile at a Time reported this story. And the story just broke a couple of days ago. This all the story's about 4 or 5 days old, but I'll keep an eye on it. I mean, what are you going to do to him? I mean, I guess you could just leave him outside for 48 hours and there wouldn't be anything to worry about. He'd be frozen.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes. Well, I think they'll just let it go, pat him on the back, make him tell him how he is supposed to, what he was supposed to do, so he can do the right thing next time.
Big fine. Maybe like the next 2 or 3 years of your life, you will do nothing but work in order to pay off this fine for this really dumb thing that you did. You know, I mean, there could have been other airplanes and stuff out there, so I'm guessing that it's not a hugely populated area in terms of airplanes in the sky, but nonetheless. Anyway, on the down low, good for him. He made it, so that's and now he just has to figure his way out of the mess. Hey, listen, if you fly American Airlines to Philadelphia, you might find that your connecting flight is not a flight at all. American is adding bus service to a number of airports from Philadelphia because they say basically it's quicker and easier to get in most situations to get your bags, get on a bus and head out. If you get on the bus in Trenton, Atlantic City, or Wilmington, Delaware, as well as Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, you can already clear security. So when you get to the Philadelphia airport, they let you off the bus on the concourse and off you go. Your baggage is already checked. Sounds like a fairly efficient idea. I would say something tacky like I'm surprised American thought of it. But nonetheless, if you're flying into Philadelphia, you might find your connecting flight is by bus. Let's talk a little bit about the people who are not coming. We'll cover this quickly because it's something we've talked about before. Las Vegas visitor volume in Las Vegas is down for the fifth consecutive month. 6.5% drop in May. Inbound U.S. air travel 6.6% decline in international visitor arrivals. That lines up pretty well with Las Vegas's numbers. And Las Vegas, what they're missing right now are the international travelers. Canadian travelers down for the sixth straight month. Only 8 million road trips to the U.S. in June. So this is border crossings by car down 33% from June of last year. Air travel to the U.S. by Canadians down 22%. So if you thought this was just going to – I mean, they're really not happy. we're starting, tour groups are now starting to go to Canada from Sports Leisure Vacations for the summer. And if you're planning on traveling to Canada, so far at least, the attitude of Canadians continues to be, they're not very happy with their president. They'll probably have some comments to say about that. So if you're a supporter, be ready for that. But otherwise, the reports are that they're treating U.S. travelers just like they've always treated U.S. travelers. And Canadians are nice people, so that's generally a good thing. Here's another report from San Francisco. 4th of July weekend, merchants saying down 25% to 30%. Also interesting to note that San Francisco gets a lot of international visitors, so they would be down disproportionately to perhaps just some other destinations. Here's an interesting survey from Travelers United. About visiting a national park, and I found this interesting just because of the numbers. There were four options. Yes, I've often scheduled my vacations to visit national parks. Yes, I live close to a national park or national forest and go there regularly. Yes, I own a vacation home close to a national park, national forest. No, that's not my interest. So, yes, on I schedule my vacations to visit national parks and other public lands, 50%. Mm-hmm. So half of people who travel regularly visit some of these national treasures. I live close to a park or forest and visit regularly, 17%. So now we're up to 67. And then I own a vacation home close to a national park, national forest, or other public lands, 5%. So that's 72. So 28%, one in four roughly, say that national parks are not really their thing. Norwegian Cruise Lines has canceled 41 cruises for next year. That's the problem with signing people up so early. They've decided to reposition a couple of ships. So if you are traveling with Norwegian Cruise Lines for in 26 or 27, you probably have already heard from them. But if you haven't and you have a cruise scheduled, you might want to check in with them. Let's see. It involves the Norwegian Prima and the Norwegian Breakaway. So if you're scheduled on one of those two ships, it's basically springtime cruises. Excuse me. Great America. You remember Great America. You're familiar with that,
right?
Oh,
I love Great America Park over there in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Is this the one you're talking about?
It is. It is. Here's the headlines. California's Great America could close in 2027. The lease expires in 2027. Somebody apparently bought the land under the park a number of years ago and agreed that the park could stay there up until the lease expiration, and then five extra years if they wanted to. It appears as though the park isn't one of Six Flags' biggest revenue generators, and they are saying that from a financial standpoint, they're considering not renewing. In fact, a quote here from Six Flags says that unless we decide to extend and exercise one of our options to extend that lease, that park next year without the extension would be closed after the 2027 season, and they are talking about that Halloween would be the out time for Great America.
Yeah, it's right there near Levi Stadium, or should I say they built Levi Stadium very nearby.
Yeah.
I don't know if they share the parking lot, but it would make a great parking lot for a Levi Stadium.
Well, when we were younger, this was, correct me not, I mean, lots of grad nights went to Great America.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Disneyland of Northern California for many, many
Absolutely.
Years.
Yes.
So that's probably a lot of people have met folks and have memories and stuff like that. And let's close the travel news. Here's a couple of quick stories. Just reminding you that when you're on a plane, you need to behave yourself. American Airlines had a flight to make a U-turn after a passenger was looking at somebody else's phone and saw the word RIP. And as in rest in peace, and got the idea that the passenger was talking about that they were going to die on the flight and alerted the flight attendants, and the plane ended up turning around. So all I have to say is, mind your own damn business when you're on an airplane or anywhere else. But here's one that really, this is another one. This is an international flight from Cancun to London. And just to show you what can happen, people were smoking in the restroom. So the flight crew figures it out, and they make an announcement, and they say, look, you know, if this continues, we're going to have to divert and go to the ground. And so it continues, and 3 hours later, they divert into Maine, of all places. And then what happens is they get down there, they get diverted. Now the flight crew doesn't have enough hours to legally fly the plane on to London. So now you're all the way across an ocean. They have to send a flight crew. So you first they have to round up a flight crew. Then they have to get them on a plane. And then they have to send them over there to a small airport in Maine. These folks were underground for 17 hours because a couple people couldn't stop smoking on the airplane. So you know what? If you're part of a small society like the inside of an airplane, if you could just maybe follow a few basic rules and we could all get there and you can walk outside and puff until your brains fall out. And that's your travel news for today.
Oh, wow. Okay, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Links to our special guests later on the program and so much more at TravelGuysRadio.com. Hey, this is a great month to be a Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House fan. This month they have a special going on that I think you're going to love. And, you know, the price compared to what we spend on fast food meals and so forth, you know, it's getting a lot, makes a lot more sense to go out and have a fine meal at a good sit-down restaurant like Rudy's. Here's what they're offering, my friends. The special is, for this month, prime rib and scampi. That's right, prime rib and scampi, featuring their delicious herb-crusted, slow-roasted choice aged prime rib, large shrimp sautéed with garlic, white wine, and capers. Your dinner also includes that warm sourdough San Francisco French bread, fresh asparagus, and a baked potato. It's coming up on lunch. Yeah, only $34.95. Get it while it lasts through the month of July. Remember to tell the folks at Rudy's that the Travel Guys sent you. The Travel Guy special is still available, too, if you just like a 6-ounce lobster tail for $29.95. Right off Highway 50 in Hazel and Rancho. All right, we're planning on going to the State Fair. Be sure to bring lots of water. It's going to be a scorcher out there.
Yeah, it is. It is all week. But at least it's not going to be 110 scorcher. It's like, you know, 100 scorcher, so...
Right, right.
Plus, the fair not opening until the afternoon on weekdays, so that's much smarter. I can remember when we were kids, we used to go out there in during the day because there was nobody there. I mean, literally nobody there. All right, let's talk a little bit about email scams. We talk about this often. There are lots of people who print lots of things trying to help folks about it. Those of us who travel tend to be the target of more of these than people who don't. And the email folks, the scammers, have gotten to be pretty good. They're even every once in a while, I get one that I sit there and I read it and I look at it and I say, geez, is that real or not? But usually there are ways that you can figure out quickly to dismiss it. And I want to share a few of those with you in case you are not real sophisticated when it comes to spotting scam emails. You know, some of them come, I get them a lot from Chase in regarding credit cards. Got one the other day from, quote, from Delta Airlines, except it wasn't Delta Airlines. And the airline was spelled wrong on the headline, so that was kind of a pretty
cool.
Yeah, it was spelled in the European manner, so that was your clue that, you know, that this there was something up. Delta Airlines doesn't spell their name wrong. Anyways, some things that you should look for. If an email doesn't use your full name, and if it has a generic greeting. So if in my case, if it's just Mark as opposed to Mark Hoffman, that's a clue. Or if my name is not on there at all, and they're writing and asking me for information about a trip that I have scheduled in a few days, otherwise they're going to cancel my credit card, but they didn't greet me by my name, that would be a clue. Also, take your mouse and go up to the top where the sender's address is, and just click on that, and frequently you will see that what says Chase credit card, when you click on it, it comes up as Joe at ABC123793816Kazakhstan.com. So you'll know immediately that just that one little move of taking your mouse up and looking at where it's coming from and where you're replying to, because frequently the replying to is different from the coming from, which is also another clue. That also the scammers have gotten smart now. There are oftentimes other places in the email that say, you know, if you want more information, click here, or if you need something, click here. Don't ever click on any of those. They're all going to send you to the same place, which is going to put you in a position of having your computer compromised, your information compromised, depending on the type of scam that they're using. So here's some other thing. Obviously, links are things. If you look at a logo, and the logo looks like it's, and many times you can tell it is very amateur. It's been copied from someplace. So a real airline, a real hotel, a real credit card company is not going to send out something like that. Be careful of false urgency. So if you don't do this by this time, this will happen to you. If you get a legitimate thing from a credit card company, they're going to ask you to contact them regarding something, but they're not going to tell you that your credit card is going to be shut down at midnight if you don't take off your clothes and do three somersaults in your living room. So if there's a sense of, if there's an urgency, then you can pretty much be sure that that is not something that's legitimate. And if you're in doubt at all, go to your credit card and look on the back. There's going to be a website. There's going to be a customer service phone number that you can contact, and you can call them up. You can take a picture of the of what's been sent to you and send it on to them. They'll be able to tell you very quickly. So a little bit, you know how we talk about here about homework when you're traveling? So a little bit of homework is what you want to do. Never provide personal credit card or account information by way of email, text, or telephone. If these people are legit, they've got that information already. They'll ask you a question. They'll send you a text to your phone or something. They have ways of validating your ID. So just be careful. Generally, if it looks too good to be true, it is. Or if it looks too awful to be true, it isn't. That's my wisdom.
Have you ever been scammed, Mark?
Yes. Only once. Only got caught once. Had to kill a credit card over it. That was a long time ago, though. Let Sports Leisure Vacations take you to New Zealand. Hey, listen, when folks go to the land down under, Australia and New Zealand, oftentimes they combine those two countries into one trip. It's an incredibly long way to go, and if you go to both countries, you can stay for 2.5-3 weeks. You can't really do either country justice, but you can see a little bit of each. A better way to do it is to go and see each country individually. We took folks to Australia last year. Next year in January, Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip to New Zealand. 18 days to the land down under. You'll fly all the way nonstop down there and back, 28 meals, all kinds of sightseeing. A very experienced tour director, Clayton Whitehead, will be with you throughout the whole trip. The trip leaves on January the 21st, so that's summertime down in the land down under in New Zealand. And again, this is just to New Zealand, not to Australia, and departing in January. Go to sportsleisure.com, and you can find out all the information on this exciting trip to New Zealand.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guest and so much more to make you a smarter traveler can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us again here on the Travel Guys, Scott Johnston, the Senior Public Information Officer out there at the old Sacramento International Airport. Scott, thank you for joining us here with the Travel Guys today.
Appreciate it, guys. Great to come on.
Let's start with probably the thing folks are most interested in, it seems to be, and that is, how is the construction going out at the airport? There's a lot of things happening all at one time. Bring us up to date.
Sure, yeah, definitely. The skyline out here is changing at a rapid pace. There is a lot of visible construction going on. Very little effect on people traveling through the airport, thankfully, but yeah, we have the pedestrian walkway, which is running right alongside the tram from Terminal B to Concourse B. And that's, I mean, we're putting up the last beam this week, so they'll start closing that thing in over the next few months. And we're hoping to have it operational by March of 26.
Wow.
You will no longer have to take the tram to go out to the terminal, right?
Correct. It will be completely walkable. We'll have people movers in there. The moving sidewalks, and there'll be some concessions and things like that. Lots of really cool artwork, which we'll start putting out here at some point as well. But it's just going to be, you know, fully air conditioned and everything. So it'll be a great addition. We get a lot of people requesting that, you know, can we walk? And unfortunately, unless the trams aren't working, we can't open that walkway that we have now. But this one will be fully traversable for anybody who's interested in walking.
Did I hear you say
the word concession? There's going to be concessions in the walk tunnel?
There'll be some things set up for smaller, like, what are they called? Kiosk-type situations, yeah.
Got it. Okay, well, that's cool.
And so, Scott, also there's a walkway going in that's going to connect the two terminals, is that right?
That is the walkway, yeah. That will not connect Terminal A and Terminal B. That will connect Terminal B to Concourse B. It'll be the same route that the train currently follows.
Got it.
Okay, and we're getting a new parking garage?
Yeah, that's another thing that you'll see out here as well. They've got the stanchions in, and they're starting to move up out of the dirt, which means that they can start working faster. The garage will give us an additional 5,500 parking places, which we are well aware that we need, as well as there'll be reserved parking options for anyone who'd like to know exactly where they're parking when they're coming to the airport. You can reserve a spot in advance. The garage is coming along great. It will be operational in November of 26. So we've got a little ways to go on that, but they're moving fast.
Okay, let's do a go back there just for a second. You said something that it was kind of interesting to me. You'll be able to reserve a parking space in advance?
Yeah, there'll be a certain number of spots in the garage that will be reservable. A lot of airports have that. We do not at this time, and we're moving towards that direction. There'll also be a technology that will show you how many spots are available in each lane or each aisle, so you won't have to drive down every single aisle to find a place that's open.
Now, a lot of new parking garages that have been built over the last, I don't know, 5 years. As you're driving through the parking garage, you see lights. You see green where there are parking spaces and red where they're filled, so you can easily spot where there's going to be an opening. I'm guessing you're going to have those.
That's exactly what I was talking about. Yep.
Okay, so that's how you're going to be able to easily tell where the parking spaces are. That's great. Will there be a charge for reserving a parking space in advance?
That hasn't been determined yet. We're still working through all that type of thing, but that will be something that we will put out for sure before we get to the point where we're opening the garage.
All right.
Scott, how is parking going so far this summer? Have we run out of parking on any given day at this point?
No. Overall, we will never run out of parking. We have plenty of parking out here. It's just going to be a matter of where you park. We are seeing our current garage filling up by mid-morning most every day, and that will continue to be the case, I'm sure, through the holidays, through the summer, through Thanksgiving and Christmas. We always ask folks to never anticipate the garage being open and instead look at our website to find which lots are available. We have a brand new 3,000 plus space South Economy lot that's located out near the AM/PM. You pull off the freeway and you make a right, and you're going to go right into that lot. And that's opened recently, which will help offset some of the other, we lost our hourly lot for the new garage construction. So that helps offset that as well.
Now, does that lot that you mentioned that's right there by the gas station, isn't that also a place where that is now the waiting area to pick people up, where you wait to get a call?
Yeah, the free waiting area is near there. The South Economy lot is adjacent to that. So they're two separate lots.
Understood.
But we do encourage people to utilize the free waiting area. If you're coming to pick someone up, if you just wait out there, some folks don't understand that sometimes when you land until you come off the plane, grab your bag and get to the curb, it can take up to 30 minutes. And so if you just sit in the free waiting area, maybe you go into AM/PM, get something to drink, and you wait. And then once they text you on the curb, it's like a 2-minute drive up to the terminal, and you grab them and go. And that really helps us with traffic and, just less cars coming through the pickup areas at any given time.
And one thing we've encouraged people to do here, the hack on dropping and picking up at the airport, if you're going during rush hour, particularly if you're dropping somebody off in the morning, early morning hours, and it's real busy, especially if you're going to Terminal B, you can drop in the arrivals area. And when you pick up somebody in the evening, you can pick them up in the departures area. All it requires is taking the escalator or the elevator to a different level, and you will find that things will be much doesn't allow you to just sit there and wait for 30 minutes. But when you get the call, it means that you can go in and pick somebody up and, or drop them off much quicker than you normally would. We're talking with Scott Johnston. Scott is the Senior Public Information Officer at Sacramento Airport. We're talking a little bit about some of the construction and stuff like that. Some great updates, Scott. We've added some new Mexico service. There's quite a bit of Mexico service now. If you could run that down real quickly, are all the outbounds red eyes at this point, or do we have any daytime departures yet?
They are all red eyes at this point, yes. At some point, hopefully, we can change that. But, yeah, we just kicked off our brand new flight to Morelia, and that took place on 4th of July. It is a very popular flight, a very popular destination. And we also have planes that go to Guadalajara, Mexico City, and Leon. And we're always looking for options to increase our flights into Mexico for sure.
I remember, Scott, when we had to scratch and claw to get one international, when Vancouver was considered awesome as an international destination. Any more new service that you can kind of tell us about that you know about? I know this stuff is always very hush-hush, but is there progress in any other direction of anything that we might look forward to?
I will say that we are definitely working towards a nonstop to Europe. Where that is and when that comes is to be determined, but I wouldn't be surprised within the next few years if we did have a direct flight to Europe.
There's a lot of Southwest flights here, and Southwest is looking for partners now that they've come up into the real world, so maybe that will be an opening. A lot of Southwest people getting off of Southwest flights here. That would be a great feed for some sort of international thing. Just, you guys have probably already thought about that, but I just thought I'd throw in my two cents worth.
We absolutely are. We always pay attention to what our passengers are looking for. We watch trends at other airports, you know, where people are flying that we may not offer at the time. And, you know, if it works for us here, we're more than willing to bring it on. And, you know, our goal is to always have, you know, as many desirable destinations as possible.
And before we let you go, Scott, some tips for our Travel Guys listeners today, going out to the airport, parking, anything that comes to mind that you'd like to get out there to the audience.
Sure. I mean, we mentioned the free waiting area. That's a great way to utilize and keeps you from having to drive circles around the terminal. Another thing that we really find helpful is if you visit the TSA website, we get a lot of questions. What can I bring in my carry-on? What can I take on the plane? What do I have to check? There's a lot of different questions, you know, with the Real ID change that we recently had. There's questions about that. The TSA.gov website is a great resource, and we would always encourage people to look at that before they're traveling, as well as our website for any, you know, delays or anything that you might be happening with your airline, what the current traffic is coming out to the airport, and obviously, you know, what the parking situation is.
And this is an immediate airport traffic, but for those of us who live out in the Rancho Cordova area or the South area, even if you're going at all hours of the morning to the airport, hit that GPS and check out the route first, because as you know, there's a lot of construction over the downtown area, and especially in the wee hours of the morning, in some cases, traffic is really limited. So I have learned that what you thought was going to be the 20-minute trip can be the 40-minute trip. Scott, thank you again for being so generous with your time. Please keep us in mind if anything comes down the pike that you need to get out quickly to folks, and we'll be back in touch in a few months.
Thank you very much, guys.
Ever been in a situation where you felt like you needed to reach out in an emergency? Maybe you're out in the middle of nowhere in a wilderness. Wouldn't it be great to have a device that could connect you with the outside world? A link to our special guest today, Kenny Kelly, and his new product, Silent Beacon, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thanks for joining us today, Kenny.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I read over some information about you and your product, and was somewhat startled by what it was that happened to you that made you think of this particular product and how it could be of value to people? Why don't you share it with our audience?
So a few years ago, I was on my motorcycle going on a little trip, and you know, while you're traveling, obviously you don't know every exit, you don't know exactly where you're going, and I got myself into an accident. I ended up on the side of a road I wasn't familiar with, and I couldn't even get to my phone in my pocket. So at that moment, I was like, wow, if there was just a product that I could press a button, it would send a signal to my smartphone, contact my parents, call 911, let my girlfriend know where I was, like send my GPS location. If there's just some magical button I could use that would send out all that information at once, I could get help right now, right? So sat there for probably like 45 minutes, eventually got to my phone, eventually someone came by, but how could I get help immediately? And that's literally where I changed everything I was doing in my life to kind of create a application physical panic button that would allow me to fix just that issue.
Wow.
So, Kenny, is this something that goes on? Is this an app on your phone, or is it a separate device? Explain.
Sure. So it's actually both. So it has an application that has all these same emergency bells and whistles, but it has a physical panic button. That panic button is connected to your phone via Bluetooth. So as long as you're with 250 feet of your smartphone, it's going to do all the same commands as if you were actually pressing the app itself. So it can call 911, call a loved one, send out your GPS location, share you know, updates. It can do all that from the actual physical button, so you never have to use your phone.
Is the physical button something that you like wear as a wristwatch or something?
Yeah, so it can actually, it comes with a free universal 18 millimeter wristband. So let's just say you don't like the size, you don't like the color, you don't like the material. You can just go onto Amazon or wherever you buy your wristbands for watches and just pick up one that'll snap right in. It also has a little hole at the bottom, so you can put a lanyard on it, right? So you could attach it to your keychain. And it also comes with an accessory clip. Majority of the people who are kind of outdoors, they use it on the wristwatch because obviously it's an easy thing to grab and it's smaller than even a Fitbit or an iPhone watch.
Well, and the point of the whole thing is that it'd be easily accessible, particularly for people like you who enjoy off the beaten track, and
yes,
are out doing things that are a little bit more adventurous, who and therefore might find themselves in a situation where they would need something like this.
Yes, and unfortunately, I've ended up in that situation multiple times.
Well, stop it. You know, I had immediately thought about the horrible situation in Texas with the floods and people who, in their situation, excuse me, were not able to receive an emergency beacon. You know, there was a lot of warnings that these floods were coming and get out, but was not heard because they weren't listening. This perhaps, if somebody had this, if they were camping or out somewhere, if they were in an emergency situation, maybe less immediate as yours, could possibly use this to signal for help, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, so, we have two versions. We have a consumer version, we have a business version. So let's just say that this is an organization, right, that has either campers or a campground or a park. We have the beacons made in such a way, it's actually patented technology, that if you, let's just say you hit your silent beacon and you press it that you're in an emergency or that you're sending out a mass alert notification, the other beacons in your group or in your business, however you set it up, will also, their beacons will flash, vibrate, and let you know that, hey, there's an emergency going on right now. So if your phone is on silent because you're sleeping or you've got it in the other room, this thing's going to shake your arm until you wake up or until you go to your phone and see what that is. So, you know, while I can't, you know, talk on past events, I'd like to think that our device could help in situations like that.
We're talking with Kenny Kelly, who is, he's telling us about his product called a Silent Beacon. So for those of you who, like as we were saying, tend to get in off the beaten track situations, this is a way of not only summoning an emergency response, but also letting other people who might matter to you know what's going on. And it strikes me, Kenny, that we talk about this Texas thing a little bit. They were pulling people out of trees, and you know, you got swept away and you ended up someplace. If you had this on your wrist, You literally would be able to tell, you know, if you were someplace where there was a cell phone signal active, you would be able to let people know. They would know exactly where to send the helicopter to.
They would, and they'd see the exact trail. So, I mean, you could even go deeper to say that preventative measures down the road can take advantage of this, because you can see the person started here and then were here and then moved here and then they ended up here, right? So you'd see that whole breadcrumb trail that could probably help people understand, you know, patterns better to avoid situations like this in the future.
Can you give us an idea of what the cost of this, of the Silent Beacon is?
Sure. So you can buy it off our website for just $59.99, and it's also on Amazon. For the consumer version. For businesses, you give us a call. We've got a great sales team and kind of walk you through all the bells and whistles you can get when you're in it as a business client.
And there are several different levels of subscription and the like, but I noted that there was one of them where if you bought the item that there was a level that did not cost you any additional. Is that correct?
That is correct. There are no monthly fees associated with it. It gives you the ability to call 911 and one additional contact. If you want to kind of unlock more bells and whistles and allow more contacts, which obviously costs us money with bandwidth, there's a small subscription fee. I think it's $3.99. And then you can even go up to the pro version, which has 24-hour monitoring. So it would actually go to a call center versus 911 to kind of talk them through your situation to receive help.
Kenny Kelly, creator of the Silent Beacon. One of those things that you're glad you have it and hope you don't have to use it.
We'll put a link at travelguysradio.com if you have an interest in finding out a little bit more about this product. Kenny, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Awesome. Always good to talk about doing some off-roading or some travel. Thank you.
Fascinating. You know, I find it really interesting how things are created and invented and so forth something like that, having an event where you really needed it and didn't have it. And so good for him.
Of course, the only drawback to this is it's great as long as you've got a cell signal. So you get too remote and you don't have a signal, then you're still in trouble. But this would cover a lot of people in a lot of situations. Hey, listen, something I wanted to tell folks about. Our Sydney Skellinger, our poodle booked it gal, our travel gal, she's in the running to be best travel agency in Citrus Heights. There is a link at travelguysradio.com. If you would go there and vote and have the inclination to vote for her, she would really appreciate it, I'm sure. Travelguysradio.com. Click on the link to vote for Sydney as best travel agent in Rancho Cordova.
Well, there you go. All right. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, reminding you that if you're going to the airport today, you've got a lot of construction, a lot of things going on downtown. In fact, keep listening to KFBK. They'll have traffic reports that can bring you up to date on that so that you won't get stuck and maybe miss your flight. I think, Mark, you checked, what was it, 52 minutes?
52 minutes, yep, right now, from Rancho Cordova.
All right. Yeah, you may have to jot through downtown and sneak your way out the back. Well, that wraps it up for another Travel Guys Radio program. Thanks for coming along. Mark, let's let you have the final word.
Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.
All right, my friends, stay well. See you then.